can stop cover.
Say what ho, this is Brian. Call me Sweet Chalky Brown Gardener, coming to you from Ramblon Towers in the servants' quarters again. We're in the galley in scenic Hespler, Ontario. You are listening to Ramblon Radio, episode 72. Ramblon Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to ramblonradio.com for all your Led Zeppelin news and lots of it coming up in the next little while. Any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramblon Radio through iTunes. If you do that, leave a review. Pop, you can just drop in a review. And all that does is it kind of puts you on the list, you know. Listen on Spreaker. That's S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R, Spreaker.com. And be sure to follow me, Ramblon Radio, on Spreaker. If I get like 100 followers, I can apply to iHeartRadio, and we can really put this in front of people. Everybody should do it. If you're listening to this, you should go to Spreaker, sign up. It costs nothing. Listen, just click. If you all did that, we could get this thing on iHeartRadio. You could just listen to it on iHeartRadio driving down the road. It would just give us thousands of people to listen to us. And by us, I mean me. and check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube, which is where I put these up when I get around to putting them up, and I tend to be very bad and very slow about that. I didn't get the last one up, as I was explaining to the YouTube guys during the intro, because they don't get to hear the intro. I didn't get the last one up. It's on my iPad. I've been taping on my iPad the last one, and I haven't figured out how to get it from the iPad to the YouTube. It's supposed to go, there is a, like, post this video on YouTube, but then this one's too long, because it's half an hour to an hour, and they only want 15 minutes in that manner, so I got to go through some other systems and haven't quite got there, and I've had major, major computer problems. We're going to get there in a minute. Anyway, Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, you know why that I have major computer problems. You know, going to do it this way instead. Show of hands, everybody. You bought Lullaby in the Ceaseless Roar, or you downloaded it, or whatever you did. 2-3 weeks ago, you listened to it. You thought, yeah, that's pretty good. Don't know what that Brian guy's talking about. That's pretty good. And you haven't listened to it since. Show of hands. Listened to it a couple of times. Thought it was okay. Now it's just done. And me, I still have an open mine. I got to show you this. Unopened. If you're on YouTube, you can see it's unopened. And there is, it's almost becoming a point of perverse pride. By the way, this comes with it. It's a little, it's like the album cover, only it's 10 by 10 instead of 12 by 12. It's a little black and white picture. It's not numbered or anything. And that came outside the album cover, basically. So that's why I have that as well. I don't know what it's going to get ruined, but unless I open it and put it in the album. So it's a dilemma, to be honest with you. Don't know what to do there. Dumb. Oh, talk about first world problems. My stupid picture of the album I don't like. So what I thought I was going to do, I'll do the next podcast when I open it. And then 3 weeks later, I've decided, nah, maybe I got to do a podcast. No, that's not what happened. It's not what happened. Here's what happened. Computer crashed. Major crash. It happens, I'm going to say, the weekend after I did the podcast. Anyway, it happened in there. I did 71, kind of the next week it happened. and it's a Mac, and it came up with a file folder and a question mark. If you follow me personally on Facebook, I posted the picture and asked questions of the Mac geeks. What's going on? If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, you can see my new Jimmy Page mug as I take a swig of this coffee. The old JP, it's in the black with the gold. And you know, it's I can't show you, but on the bottom, it's got the JP insignia rubbed right off first time I washed it. There, as I took a drink, you can see no JP on the bottom. It's supposed to be there in white. Rubs right off. It's like it's made of chalk or something. So that's what you get for your quality. Thank God the gold's not coming off. Also bought a sweatshirt. It cost a small fortune, actually, but that's what you do once in a while, right? It was like 60 pounds, which I thought, that's not bad. And like, we were in England last year, and the pound was $1.50, so but 90 bucks, a bit much for a sweatshirt and a coffee mug, but it's not way out there. Came to $112. Oh. Over 100 bucks for a sweatshirt and a coffee. It's just, you got a coffee cup, feels heavy duty. But anyway, with any luck, the embroidering on the sweatshirt won't rub off in the first wash, and it'll be good. I wore it yesterday. I was going to do the podcast yesterday, and I was going to do it last night while I was still wearing it. So one of these, I'll wear it in the next couple of podcasts. So you can go to YouTube and see my gray sweatshirt, Lucifer Rising. So I posted this picture on Facebook. Everybody told me, your hard drive's dead. Okay, that's okay, because I'm backed up. As of about 10 days ago, I'm backed up. I should be good. And then, so I went out, and somebody said to me, you know, they're really easy to change. I've never been inside the laptop, the Mac card. I've fiddled with PCs before. I've swapped out. But I've never done inside a MacBook, inside a laptop, really, I don't think. Although I think I've been inside a laptop. I don't think I've actually swapped out any hard drives or anything. So I got, no, it's easy, it's easy. So I did that. I went and bought a hard drive, and I dropped it in, and it was easy. And it didn't work. So that's how easy it was. So now I'm going to the Apple Store. But they can't, you know, they just released the iPhone 6. They're busy. And I can't, it's 5 days before I can get an appointment. Actually, I was going to do that first, but it was 5 days. That's why I decided to try and tackle it myself. So I finally get it in, and she says, which hard drive do you, she's probably the cable, which hard drive do you want? I says, well, we might as well, the new hard drive's twice the size. I might as well keep that. And then I get a call from, the new hard drive is no good. The old hard drive is fine, and it's working right now. I was, okay, that's good. So I get there, and I call my wife. I says, can you pick it up on the way home? So, because it's about 25 minutes to the Apple Store from where I live. And it's kind of, it was about 5 minutes out of her way coming home from work. So she gets home. I pop it open. Nothing. Same thing. Dead. So we have dinner, and she says, where are you going? I'm going to the Apple Store. I'm not waiting 5 more days. I go walking in. You guys fix this today. Have a peek. And the guy goes, that's not good. I says, that's exactly how it was when it came in. Okay. Out comes the girl who knows everything. You know, the best, the genius of geniuses. And here's why, you know, people wonder why people love apples or why they love Apple. What's so great about them? Here's why. So that's stupid screw up, right? What happened was she plugged in the old hard drive. She couldn't get the new hard drive work. She plugged in the old hard drive. It worked fine. She didn't change anything. She says, no, it's working fine. So when I went back the second time, I says, look, I didn't change the new hard drive just on a whim. I did it because this is what I was getting in the first place. So either something screwed up, right? And she goes, she plugs it in. She goes, we're not seeing the hard drive at all now. So she goes, it's probably a new hard drive. We'll swap out the cable too, just to be safe that it's not, you know, we'll make sure. She says, and then she says, and this is why people love Apple. She says to me, because it's a 4-year-old computer, it's way out of warranty. She says, no charge for this. We'll put in a new hard drive, a new cable. Won't cost you. It's like $200 worth of product and work. Not going to cost me a penny. Why? Because they didn't get it right the first time, and now they're paying for it. And no, I didn't have to say anything. I didn't have to go, hey, da, 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 da. She says, you know, it's going to take us an hour. We're a little backed up back there. It's going to take an hour. I says, well, they're in a mall. Okay, I'll go shopping for now. This, I can do this. So she says, okay, come back in an hour. I'll make sure it's done. And so it got done. It got done for nothing. And they turned out it was the cable, not the hard drive. She says, she put the cable in, plugged in the hard drive. She says, everything's beautiful. Look at this. Pulled it out, turned it on for me. See, here you go. That's what's happening right now. And if the hard drive crashes in the next couple of days, bring it back and put in a new hard drive. So it's now working beautiful. Just fine. So, but that's why there hasn't been one for the last 2 weeks. I didn't have anything to record. But yeah, you wonder why people are devoted to Apple. Hey, bad stuff happens, right? You know, you don't judge companies based on you know, their product doesn't break down, because everybody's product breaks down. You judge them based on how they solve the problems. And everybody makes mistakes. So how do you fix your mistakes? And these guys, once a mistake was made, they went out of this world. And if you have a new product, if you have an in-warranty product, and I've had this before with Apple, that something's gone wrong and you take it in, they're fabulous. They're all over fixing it now, fixing it right, fixing it for free. There's some small print you have to look at. There's this or there's that. There's bang, that's under warranty. We fix that. Boom, boom, boom. We replace that. You know, try and get that for your friggin' Dell. So that's why, you know, that is partly why, anyway. People just love these things. All right. What was going to happen the last couple of weeks, we're going to do 70. This is 72. This should have been 74. And what was going to happen, 72 was going to be about one thing. 73 was going to be about another. And actually combining them is interesting based on the last podcast, which is the first ever I had to put an adult rating on. But just saying, thanks, Robert. Look what you made me do. But based on that, it's... I think these are actually... This is a two combination. These are topics go well together. I talked towards the end of it about the difference between John Paul Jones and Robert Plant when it comes to... They released this very non-Zeppelin-esque music. And John Paul Jones seems to get away with it. Robert Plant doesn't so much. And I think this comes up in this again. And I'll get to it in a second. But... the thing is, I was listening to the last one. The phrase that kept rubbing through my mind is managing expectations. John Paul Jones is managing expectations. John Paul Jones really manages the expectations better. You're going to have to go back a bit, YouTube guys. And, you know, he doesn't go out and record and do a couple of Zeppelin songs in his super silent concerts or something. He doesn't throw them in or anything like that. He just does this new music, and he'll tell you straight up, this is new music, this is very different music, blah, blah, blah. Well, Plant kind of tries to have one foot in both and gets himself in trouble sometimes, I guess is what I'm saying. Anyway, so that comes up here again, and that's the only reason I'm going back there, because I don't want to spend my life beating up Robert Plant. And I have some good and bad Robert Plant stuff this week, so it would be a little nice. But anyway... So it was 15 years ago on September 19th. So this would have been number 72, 2 weeks ago, on September 19th. 15 years ago, Zuma was released, John Paul Jones' solo album. And it's not very, well, I mean, he rumbles on it. He's got that big rumbly bass. Just goes, much like the Diamond Galas we talked about a couple of episodes ago. It's a very hard rock album. It's at times not unlike the Minibus Pimps. It goes off into these kind of... I'm not going to say it's avant-garde, but it goes in, touches on that, touches on the fringe of avant-garde. You know what I mean? And so it's not so much that it's reminiscent of Minibus Pimps. It's, you can see him drifting in that direction on this album a bit. It's an instrumental album. It's a hard rocking album, and it's loved by a lot of people. I'm not big on it. I don't hate it, but I'm not big on instrumental albums, instrumental rock albums in the first place. I think rock is a vocal. To me, it's a vocal medium. And like I'll listen to I like classical. I'll listen to symphony all day or something. But not so much with rock. So I don't listen to this very often, and it doesn't do a whole lot. But I get why people like it too. But for some Zep fans, this is an adored album. And Jumbo Jones has never ever catches flack for it being very non-Zeppelin, very the where's the singer, where's David Coverdale, where's, you know what I mean, where's Black Dog. He never seems to catch flack for that stuff. You can see I'm using my mug, but cheating with a commercial coffee. On the other hand, 30 years ago, September 24th, 1984, episode 73, this would have been, The Honey Drippers Volume 1 was released. Now, this is a very non-Zeppelin-esque, even though Jimmy Page... A number of things about The Honey Drippers. And I think Plant actually managed expectations very nicely on The Honey Drippers. I think he did a good job of a couple of things here. This is his first reuniting with Jimmy Page, and it makes for an interesting way for the two of them to play together without expectations of it being Led Zeppelin. This was very well managed by Ahmet Erdogan, by the way. This was his idea, and he bugged Plant until he did it. By the way, on YouTube, there you go. Honey Drippers got the original album. It's worth virtually nothing now. And there's no, by the way, it never mentions, and this is, you know, this is one of those things about this guy that's probably worth mentioning. It says on it, you look at this Honey Drippers album, the original Honey Drippers album, it says Honey Drippers, Volume 1 on the cover. You look on the spine, it says, how the hell would I know? It's way, somebody hold it way over there. The Honey Drippers, Volume 1. You look on the back, it's got the song list, and it says, virtually nothing. Manufactured, produced by, etc., etc., etc. You open it up, and there is no cover. There's no mention of the fellow named Robert Plant. There's no mention of Jimmy Page. Right? You look at produced by Nugater and the fabulous Brill Brothers, whoever they might be. Brill Building would be where Atlantic was, I think. So that's probably Nugetra, maybe? That's probably Plant and Ahmet Erdogan and Jerry Wexler, right? There you go. Nowhere on this album, on the cover, on the inner sleeve, on the outer sleeve, on anything, does it say the words Robert Plant. It's the Honey Drippers. This one, on the other hand, he talks a lot about this band, and it's a very band album, and as I mentioned, I think the band's very good in this album. It's Robert Plant, Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar. You think Robert Plant would have saved himself a lot of the flack that guys like me are giving him if it, in the Sensational Space, not Robert Plant and the Sensational Space Shifters, the Sensational Space Shifters, Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar, would have sold less albums. But, what is it? Is it a band or is it a Robert Plant album? So, that's one of those little things he did very right on this. But everybody knew it was Robert Plant. But that's the thing. Let other people tell the world it's Robert Plant. You don't have to do it. But he also, and so he brings Jimmy Page in to do a couple of the solos, a couple of the guitar parts, and it allows them to kind of reconnect publicly without any expectations. That said, Robert Plant gets, this was done in the spirit of, it's a fun album, and it was done in the spirit of fun. It was not meant to be serious. It's only a five song or so. It was $5.99 instead of $8.99, $9.99 at the time. I forget exactly, but it was not full price because it was only five songs. It was an EP, essentially. But it was, in fact, at the time, quite derided. Many people went, oh, that's for the Plant. And I enjoyed it. I always enjoyed it. I got what it was. These guys having a bit of fun. It was done in that spirit, but a lot of people didn't. And even now, I'm going to tell you, 10 years ago or so, when he was touring Mighty Rearranger, my brother said, I was going, do you want to go? And he was, oh, I see Robert Plant, I sing fucking See Your Love. He's not saying See Your Love, but Robert Plant got dismissed by a lot of people after the Honey Drippers, who never went back to Robert Plant, solo artist, who just decided that's what he was, that he was not serious. And so it's, but this one, like, to me, he did this one right. He did the expectations right. He managed it right, and yet still he got kind of derided for it. Like, John Paul Jones does not get derided for doing Zuma, which is a serious album for sure, but much as Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar is a serious album, right? And that's the point. So it's an interesting dichotomy. Robert Plant seems to attract that a bit. I don't know why. I mean, I think nowadays, I think it's got a lot to do with what he does to Led Zeppelin music in concert and the interviews he gives where he kind of derides Led Zeppelin himself. So he invites a few bullets. You know, I'll shoot. For instance, I'll give you, for instance, the stuff he says. And this is kind of a little forward, but... And there's been a number of interviews, and I've not been keeping up on them. I played in the intro. The intro, by the way, was Robert Plant on Jimmy Fallon doing Duke of Earl. They did it. They looped it in the iPad. If you haven't seen it, see it. It's good. And I downloaded the whole show, and I still haven't managed to watch it. It's, I don't know, it's in some format. I can't have a hard time opening here. And then Good Rockin' at Midnight from Saturday Night Live with the Honey Drippers. Brian Seltzer on guitar, so on and so forth. So
what?
What was I going to say? Anyway, so Plant's doing all these interviews. Page is doing interviews right now because Page has got, A, he's promoting the Led Zeppelin 4 and Houses of the Holy. Plus, he's got his book coming out in the next, I think it's 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from 2 days ago. Yeah, this is Thursday, so Tuesday, 2 weeks. In other words, either next week or the week after, because I've pre-ordered, and it'll get in the mail. If you've pre-ordered the Robert Plant book, by the way, which is not due out for 3 more weeks, it's already been sent. I know this because somebody bought one by linking to me, and I know that it's been that particular book has been sent out. So the Robert Plant book, which I will talk about in about 3 weeks. So the next couple of weeks, we got a lot to talk about. We got Jimmy Page's book, we got the remasters, we got the Robert Plant book. Gonna be busy, Not gonna get the Black Crowes in there, I suspect. But Robert, in one of the interviews, he said, well, there's nothing really significant in the coming in the bonus material, the Led Zeppelin bonus, nothing significant. So there you go. So you guys I know somebody out there who likes Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar, who defends Robert Plant sometimes to me, and who also defended the bonus material to me. So what do you think? Was there anything significant? Because Robert Plant says no. Basically suggesting don't bother buying it is what he's really saying to you, right? And yet he's pushing this album as some miraculous new idea, and it's, you know, I got news for you. There's nothing. No, I don't want the adult rating. I don't want to have to do that again. There's nothing significant in Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar. There's nothing significant. Is there anything in the remasters? I didn't think so. I said so. I really didn't think so. I was disappointed. Sorry. Led Zeppelin 1, the live show, that was significant. Possibly Since I've Been Loving You was. And look, there's a different take of Stairway to Heaven. That's going to be significant no matter how you go. But what they've released so far, there's one or two things that are really wow. And everything else is kind of eh. Right? I don't disagree with them in that, but stop pretending like this is significant. It's not. But that's what drives people crazy, right? He's out there, literally, Jimmy Page is trying to sell these friggin' albums that he's going to make his money on too, and he's out there bad-mouthing them, in essence. And once again, he's dismissive of the Led Zeppelin stuff while using it to catapult his crap.
I didn't mean to say that, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
But, you know, anyway, speaking of that, so while I'm on that subject, I was going to move on from it, but while I'm on that subject, this has been interesting to me the last little while. Try to find a bad review of Ceaseless and the of Lullaby and the Ceaseless Roar in the media. Try and find one. Go ahead. Can't. I haven't seen one yet. Everybody, but they all use the same language, the same pattern. It's almost like they got a press release. This is what you will say. They all do it. So he's doing his concerts, and they all come across with the same stuff. He's fresh, and he's doing different, and he's refusing to be tied down to the old material, etc., etc., etc. So, and I'm wondering, but there's a couple other themes I have seen interesting come up. There was an article this week came up on the top Led Zeppelin songs. Not the top, sorry. Listed them from first to last, all 86 songs, whatever it is. Over Hills and Far Away was first, by the way. The author dismisses Presence as an insignificant album, as does Dave Thompson in the upcoming Robert Plant book, dismisses Presence, as did the guy in the Robert Plant book last year, Paul Reese, did he do that one? Dismisses Presence. Presence is not a dismissible album by serious people. It's an exceptional album. It's a difficult album. It's a difficult album to get to. I get that. It was difficult for me. But it is. There's some real wow stuff on Presence. But it's a theme in the media. Presence is not a good album. It's Led Zeppelin at their low ebb. It's whatever it is. And you get the feeling that Robert Plant doesn't like Presence very much. When's the last, when has he ever played a song from Presence in his solo tours? Ever. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that answer. And I get what, by the way, it may be a time period where Robert Plant doesn't want to remember, so he doesn't like the album, but it just strikes me as that's a theme that's running through a lot of media reports about Led Zeppelin lately, or books and whatnot. The same thing goes with his solo tours, with his solo album and his tour. Everybody's talking about how he's refusing to be tied down to what he's doing, refusing to be a nostalgic act, to be an oldies act, and that he's doing something fresh and different, that he's moving on, etc., etc., etc. It's a theme. It's a theme in his concert reviews. It's a theme in his album reviews. And there was a concert review from Massey Hall this week. I posted part of it. I posted a link to it on the Facebook page and on Twitter. So if you go there and see it. And my point was, the guy called it hypnotizing. He mentioned that twice, I think. Hypnotizing. Plant was hypnotizing. By hypnotizing, when I hypnotize you, don't you fall asleep? Doesn't he really mean fucking boring? Oh, Christ, he's playing Little Maggie now. Isn't that what he means? Isn't hypnotizing dreary? You know? Anyway, here's the opening line. You know, but this guy was trying all over the place, and it was clear, I think. I do this too, right? I mentioned this when I did California Breed. I was trying to like the album. I was trying to write something nice and positive about the album. And until I decided to say, like, this sucks, the reviews get... I spent a week and a half with a thing on my keyboard trying it, going back. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. And then one day I went, oh, hell, you know what I really mean is... And I wrote it in about 10 minutes. That's what happens. When you're trying, you start tripping over yourself to say what you don't really mean. And it was like this guy was told, this is what I have to say. This is... Or feels pressure, even maybe it's just... Well, everybody else loves this, so I guess I got to love this. And he confesses in it, he's a big Led Zeppelin fan, by the way, so maybe he's not, you know. But he's tripping over himself and he's saying all this weird stuff, and it was an oddball review. Here's the opening line from it. If mother is the necessity of invention, Robert Plant is its charming uncle you never really tire of visiting. The hell does that even mean? What? But that's the sort of thing you write when what you're trying to say is, God, that was crap. And you don't want to say it. So you're trying to be nice. You're trying to dance around it. Anyway, there seems to be... Robert Plant seems to have the ear of the media, and they seem to be memeing what he feels, what he thinks. There seems to be something going on like that, I think. So here's something to watch for when the reissues that come out at the end of the month. It's like homework for all of us, okay? It's my theory. I'm not saying this is for fact. I'm saying it's a theory. But here's how we're going to test the theory. Robert Plant said there is nothing significant in the remasters. How many reviews do you read in the next couple of weeks, in the next month, on the remasters for 4 and House of the Holy that mention there's nothing significant there? That's our homework, okay? Keep an eye open for it. Watch for it. And let's see if it's a meme what from Robert Plant's mouth to reporters everywhere's ears. By the way, I'm not going to use it. When I review them, I will not use the phrase. I promise you that. I think I spent a little while trying to be dancey and nice, and I've discovered it just doesn't work. So I'm not going to anymore. If I don't like it, I either don't review it or I don't say it. Or I say it, I mean, sorry. You know what I mean? I prefer just not to review stuff I don't like. By the way, speaking of California breed, and I have to get to Jimmy yet. Ooh, it's going to be a long one. Speaking of California breed, didn't like the album at all. And I think what I said at the time was, I don't imagine I'll ever listen to this again. Haven't listened to it again since. Have not listened to it again since. Of course, Black Country Communion split up and there was two camps, right? Joe Bonamassa went this way, Jason Bonham and Glenn Hughes went that way. Now they've split off beside that. So Joe Bonamassa goes off and he's done a new album called Different Kind of Blue, I think. Something like that. Different Kind of Blue. Anyway, it's exceptional. I would love to have had Black Country Communion roll these songs out. This is what I wanted California Breed to be. Exceptional. Exceptional album. The title song is as good as anything I've heard in years. It's phenomenal. But right across the board, it's a great album. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. I will listen to it lots in the years to come. So if you're thinking to yourself, well, that Black Country Communion split up, I should pick up one of those albums, pick up the Joe Bonamassa. Screw California Breed, not good. They're going out on tour right now, by the way. And, go see them if you want. Yeah, the Joe Bonamassa album, you got to listen to it. It's phenomenal. Okay, that's an aside. So Jimmy Page had a listening party in London this week. A sneak preview of some of the bonus material for select media and types in London. Dave Lewis was there. I believe James Cook from Led Zeppelin News was there. Ramble on Radio's interview got lost in the email, apparently. I don't know, borders and stuff, I guess. I don't know. and don't, you know, those guys are all London based or England based, but don't give me that crap. They don't care where I'm based. If they wanted me to hear it, they would have invited me, and it's up to me to say yes or no, right? So I'm not buying that. Well, nobody's selling, for one. Nobody's telling me that, but you know. So anyway, I wasn't there. I have no review of it. However, Dave Lewis does. Dave Lewis is quite a long bit on it. They played Stairway to Heaven. He says it's sublime or something. He's always enthused though, but he loved it. And he's one of those guys who, you know, I could probably listen to. They released the Rain song this week. It's a remix without piano. And it's on iTunes. Funny, it was released like that. These things always happen. It gets released in Britain at the Guardian. Can't listen to it here in Canada. And then there's an American release, and then I have to fish around to find something that works in Canada. I didn't even bother this. There's an American release. I checked. It doesn't work in Canada. Whatever. Because I knew within 24 hours, it would be available. I knew. That's fine. So I've already pre-ordered the albums, so I was just going to get it anyway. So I did. It showed up on iTunes the next day. But I didn't. I mean, I personally didn't really sense much difference between that and the regular. Now, I didn't play them side by side, but I'm not one of those guys. I guess what I'm saying is, oh, that's a completely different use of the instrument there, or that's got more reverb, or. I'm just not that detail oriented, I guess. Dave Lewis is, when it comes to the Zeppelin music specifically, and he knows, oh, that's different. Oh, that's different. Oh, this is a different use of that. You know, a little more, like you mentioned, a little more keyboards, or a little less of the keyboards, a little more reverb on the guitar in the intro. And I mean, I might have noticed that or might not, but I would also boil it down to, wow, this is a really cool sound system. So it's going to sound different than that. You know what I mean? So how different these things are, I don't know sometimes. But the Rain Song was released this week. It's a piano remix. I don't know. Sounds all right. It's no piano, but lots of Mellotron still. So I would have to listen to the two side by side and go, what is that? But anyway, those are coming in a couple of weeks. But they're about 3 weeks away. I think it's 3 weeks away. So, woohoo. And they released a video of the unpacking of Led Zeppelin 4 box set, which I put on Ramble on Radio under the heading, you know, this is what my house would look like Christmas morning. honey, this is what I get it, honey. So that's what we're looking for Christmas around here this year. And but Jimmy, he said, I knew there was something I wanted to say about it. So what he said was that the most significant thing that seems to come out of it was he plans on putting together a band next year. Okay, I'm hard on Robert, right? I've been hard on Robert the last couple of weeks. Time to be hard on Jimmy. Jimmy, get off your ass and do it or don't. Shut up or don't shut up. But he did say it'll be new musicians you've never heard of, that sort of thing. Which leads you to think he's been talking to some people at least. You think? Or he's got some ideas in mind. I don't know. I don't know what he's up to. We can hope, but he's getting close to 70, isn't he? 60? Is he 67? 68? You know. It's now or it's getting close to never. I mean, AC/DC, they're, what, 60? What age is he? 64, Malcolm Young. In a home with dementia. So, you start getting into that age, and making plans is a little more of a mug's game, I guess. I don't know. So Jimmy, he's talking about another album. He's talking about recording with these guys and touring with these guys. But he hasn't put it together yet. He hasn't done the album yet. But he's talking about next year. We've heard this for 3 or 4 years in a row, by the way. This is not end of the year interviews. He shows up at some event, and the BBC will stick a microphone in his face and say, "What's next for Jimmy Page?" He'll say, "Oh, I'm putting a band together next year. Going to release an album." This was specifically at a press conference, pre-arranged what he was going to talk about and stuff. So hopefully he's serious, but don't hold your breath. And if we get word that he's on to it, if I ever get a chance to interview him, almost said it with a straight face. If I get a chance to interview him in November, because I have requested when he's in New York doing his book thing, and I'm in New York going to his book thing, I have requested an interview. So if they ever answer that email, another email that's lost in the the email, I guess we're lost in the ether. It's not even they say no. They don't even answer my emails. Like, they'd be blocked. But anyway, then I will press him on that. Who do you got in mind? What songs you got in mind? How far along are you? But realistically, hope. Cross your fingers and hope that Jimmy Page has got some new music and his tour coming. But don't expect it. Don't anticipate it. Don't plan on it. Don't go buying tickets. Don't go buying tickets. That's all I can say. Robert Plant is currently on tour, although he's ending up his little bit. He's heading west. He was in Massey Hall in Toronto 2 days ago. Chicago last night, I think. And then he's off day. He's going to be doing some England dates and stuff. So, yeah, if you get a chance to see him, by the way, your call. I refuse to pay the price. He was in Brooklyn last weekend. That was the other thing I was going to mention. and National Public Radio broadcast the concert as a video. You could have watched it live then and there, but it is all on their servers, I believe, and it is on the internet as a download somewheres. I talked last time, the iTunes Festival, I got about 4 or 5 songs into it, so I decided I'm not interested in, I didn't even bother. Same goes for a lot of the interviews he's doing these days. Yeah, it's the same stuff. I just find it's the same stuff he's saying. So I haven't read very many of them. And Jimmy Page, much the same. He's doing some interviews, and I'm just kind of, yeah, whatever. It's a lot of the same stuff. Do I sound put out and cynical? Not really, but time's precious. You know, and they're doing so many. I guess the point is they're both doing so many interviews these days that there's only so much you can say, and there's nothing really that fresh. Anyway, that's it. Let's call it a... I sound like I'm out of gas and I'm out of coffee. My throat's getting sore and I'm out of coffee. You would not believe how much you need to drink to do a 45-minute monologue like this. You just keep it going. You got to have a drink, man. It's unreal. All right, that's it for Ramble on Radio, episode 72. Sorry it took a couple of weeks to get to you. Check out RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast. Led Zeppelin news. Oh, my voice is going. Oh, hold on a sec. Led Zeppelin news and reviews and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. And if you go to iTunes, leave a review, please. You can listen on Spreaker. Everybody do it. Everybody go to Spreaker and follow Ramble On Radio. Sign in as whoever. And you don't have to do anything else. They don't send a whole bunch of annoying emails. You don't have to listen to any. There's all sorts of podcasts. You don't have to listen to me there. You don't have to do it. Just follow me. Just do that. 6 months. That's all I'm asking. Everybody do it. Spreaker, Spreaker. And check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode number 72. Keep it cool and babies.
I mean, if I listen to it now, I go, whoa.